Hi, right, today's December 10th, 2016, and this is Mobile News Podcast number 187. John Westfall is not here. He is off on a super secret assignment somewhere that we can't talk about. But I have a prediction for what he'll talk about when he returns, and to help me talk about it, I've got two old friends, Don Sorcinelli, and returning from a long, long time ago, Steve Hughes. Last time Steve was on the podcast, I had to go look this up, was November 2011, podcast number 45. So it's been a while, Steve. Welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back.
So the first thing I wanted to talk to you about, and Don, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I actually got his name right for like a couple times in a row now, so he's in shock.
I've got a little scoreboard here, and we're keeping track.
So the first thing I want to talk about is Fitbit buying Pebble. Either of you are either of you Pebble owners?
I'm a Pebble owner, Fitbit owner, yeah. And many other things too.
Yeah, I know John's the same.
I got the notice. I heard the rumblings about it for a while, and I mean, it's kind of sad though. It's like Pebble had the option to be bought out from like was it Citizen?
Yeah.
For around $748 million, and they said, nah, we're good. And then they went on to get an offer from I think it was Intel for about $70 million. Yeah. And then they said, no, we're good. And then Fitbit comes along. Hey, how about $40 million? Like, oh, okay, that sounds great. You know, it's like we'll take all that loss. We have a lot of debt we got to cover, and sure enough, the other doors started closing too for other like Kickstarters that support Pebble too. I just got one for the Pagari watch as well, which was like an NFC payment, Okay. Basically like they try to cop or Apple Watch, but you don't need the actual connection to Apple Watch. It was just would store it on the watch. It was a really cool thing, but everyone's all upset about that. They just shuttered the doors on that.
Well, that's pretty sad. You know, the thing I think that's most sad for Pebble owners, at least, is that if I read the article correctly in Gizmodo, is that their warranties will be null and void and customer support.
As of V-Day, December 7th, yep.
Yeah. So that's just not right.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
My take on the whole thing, not being a Pebble owner, but watching the whole thing. I mean, it's interesting. You know, it'll be interesting, obviously, to see what Fitbit does, in which way they go, which direction with it. But, I mean, literally to slam the door, which is what they did, is kind of harsh. And it becomes the cautionary tale, you know, for Kickstarters. I think everybody who goes into a Kickstarter should, if they have common sense, know you know what you're getting into with it.
Yep.
And so that, but it this is a reminder of it. And to those folks that are acting like they were, this is the end of the world, again, I'm sort of saying this is the world of, you think of it, it's a smaller scale, the world of venture capitalism.
Yeah.
You're investing and hoping that there's going to be a return on the investment.
Although you have to still feel bad for the folks, because I remember Sam's Club was carrying Pebble watches until recently.
Yeah.
So they weren't Kickstarter investors. They were like real customers, So I feel bad for those folks.
That's the one that's the part, that becomes sort of the, where do you draw the line on this? They were still looking for investment, while at the same time they were behaving very much not like a startup in the sense that they'd gone retail, they had retail channels and things like that.
Well,
but it's something that everybody now, it's probably gives a good time to take pause and think a little bit about, how a very good and, I don't want to say noble, but the idea of the Kickstarter and what it provides, it does make you start to realize that there's some things to consider in this kind of business model,
Yeah.
So it'll be, I'm going to be curious to see if there's going to be any fallout on that side as a result of this. Will we see some sort of, just sort of like we saw after the tech bubble burst, a decade and a half ago. Even when people started reinvesting, the investments were different. Things changed the way people looked at things. I'll be curious to see if this has any impact on Kickstarters in the longer run.
The way they're structuring companies now, too, is like Pebble actually moved along pretty quickly with the version. So, I mean, like within like 6-8 months, they had a new version coming out. I wonder if that was like too fast because people were saying, hey, why should I get a new one. I mean, I did it because, like, the first one was just the LCD black and white. Then they moved on to a color. Then they had the round, and then they had the next Pebble 2, which didn't come out, and they're issuing some money back to people with the core as well. By, I think, like, March 17th, they're going to give the money back. And it seems like it was almost too quiet. It's almost like GoPro. It's like, you have a nice camera. I'm like, are you going to replace it? I mean, it's meant to be durable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they almost priced themselves out of the market. And Pebble had great service, too. I mean, I remember I had the first Kickstarter watch I had problems with it, and they sent me a replacement within a week after a few emails. And Fitbit is an awesome company, too. I've damaged a lot of them. They've just, like, fallen apart on me, or they've lost them on a run or something like that. And they... within a few weeks, I get a replacement for it, and I think it's a great fit for that. If it's for customer service, I think it'd be pretty good. And then I guess they're gonna still use some of the software, so hopefully they'll bring the developers over, which is huge.
Yeah, that's
what I heard.
What I read in Engadget is basically they're getting rid of all the products, like you said, Steve. So they're gone, but they're bringing them just for the intellectual property and for the people, the intellects. Well,
yeah, it's going to be interesting on the software side, because especially when you look at what Pebble was doing, and you look at the fact that to a certain extent they do have two, I'll do the air quotes with their smart watches in the Blaze and the Surge. Mm. It'll be interesting to see if that trickles into those, you know, and how it trickles into those product lines, and if it becomes something that they look for extensibility as well, you know, bring back that developer community that they were, you know, that was building apps.
Right. And although Fitbit is top of the heap right now, they have to be looking behind them because, they're basically not quite a one-trick pony, but they're pretty close.
Well, they're the one – they're in – obviously what isn't already hot enough in terms of competition is going to be hotter.
Yeah.
Just because they're in the one wearables market that seems to be working, in the fitness wearables market. The only thing is, to a certain extent, and you think here's where back to bringing in some innovation – you know, you become a victim of your success when your products are durable enough to where they were saying Fitbit sales were down this year, because the products are durable and reliable. Even with the introduction of the new twos for a few of the products, there was some innovation, but people by and large are happy. So you've got to find some way to innovate. Never mind the fact that, everybody and their brother is building. This is the one area where you're seeing wearables being hot is in the fitness side. So They've got to do something, and this might be smart for them.
I think it moved to the displays of the Pebble, though. That'd be awesome, too. I mean, that's one of the things that extended the battery life of the Pebble. I mean, you last a week with low Bluetooth LTE. And with the announcement of Bluetooth 5 coming, I mean, that's a huge thing, too. I mean, you got what is Bluetooth 5 going to give you? It's going to give you, like twice the speed.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. Four, it might be even the four times something.
And, like, eight times the distance or something. It's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And you make a really good point about the display. That's a one weak area that Fitbit has now. The displays are minimal, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Less than the Microsoft Band, I think.
And that was the awesome thing about the Pebble. You could customize it. I mean, it was all different watch faces. There were just multiple different ones. I also have, like, interfaces for, like, LifeX light bulbs. I control all the music on my it was a nice interface.
Yeah.
And it was a waterproof watch way before Apple came out with their version of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're obviously Fitbit's, you look at the strengths and the weaknesses, you look at the Surge, and like you said, the Surge, they call it a super watch, but it's a great fitness wearable. But then you look at the downside of it is, for all the great data and everything else, the user experience on the watch is kind of, minimalistic.
Yeah.
And it's not, that UI to get to, depending on some of the things, they could do some, I'm sure, on usability just to navigate it. You're going to start a workout session. Their UI isn't the most user-friendly for it. So maybe they take advantage of that side of it, too. Like I said, it's guys who seem to know how to build, the deeper built in terms of, making the extensible community, but even just some of the basic usability stuff.
Yeah, so UI, battery life, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, for Fitbit, while unfortunately for the Pebble side of things, between owners and things like that, that's the downside. I can't see this as being anything but a nice acquisition from Fitbit's perspective. decent bargain basement price. They get a ton of intelligent, you know, people in a segment that is very complementary to what they're doing today.
So, yeah, I'm really hoping that Fitbit comes out with a nice affordable watch. Keyword affordable, because you know I learned from reading recently that Motorola decided that they are not going to pursue
360.
The 360 going forward, you know, at least for now. So I'm at a dead end. Right, I've got.
I think Samsung's on the same boat too. They're suspending it for about a year, even though the Android Wear just came out with a new version,
So I don't know. Apple
hasn't disclosed their numbers on the Apple Watch, even though they said it's doing really well. Some people said it's selling what 3 times the amount as the Amazon's Alexa unit. So,
yeah, I just don't. You know, the smartwatch market. Like I said, the interesting thing is I thought Series 2, the sport model, might be the one that does well for them. Because, again, it's coming back to what people, it's great to have a smartwatch, but the biggest thing, the biggest aspect that people seem to buy into in big numbers is the fitness aspect of it. And the fact that you could swim with the new Series 2, you know, the sport model is
and it squirts water out. Have you seen that?
It's like a little clown flower.
Yeah. It's you come out of the you come out of the pool or whatever. There's a little thing you press and it squirts a little water. It's
it is. It's like the clown flower, the trick flower that you get. Hey, look at what time it is.
Yes.
I gotcha.
And speaking of Apple, you know their AirPods, their much delayed AirPod, which I would have been interested in had it done some, heartbeat stuff or whatever, which I understand some earpieces do. I just saw one at Sam's Club of all places.
Yeah.
In the Center of Technology that will do heart rate kind of stuff. But in any case, so John Westfall, as you know, ordered it the day it became available to pre-order. And he's been waiting and waiting and waiting for the AirPod. And now they're saying, now the rumor is Apple has not released it because it was supposed to release like October.
Yeah.
Early November, sometime like a long time ago, is because they can't get the audio to the two sides simultaneously. Okay, I am not an engineer. I think Steve is, but I am not an engineer, but I'm going to give them a piece of free advice. You take a cable and you connect the two pieces together and you send audio. It works great. I'm pretty sure of this.
No, I just pictured the first time I heard this, I pictured... Like, do you remember, and now this suddenly dates all of us, I don't think there's anybody young listening to us, but do you remember, like, the first stereo, like, when you were a kid in, like, in the 70s, where it almost sounded like it was slightly out of sync, and that was part of what gave you that stereophonic sound?
Yes.
That's what I picture we're going back to, like, the 70s.
Or use a flanger, where you do it on purpose, you know, and you're actually rotating, I mean... delaying the sounds differently in each ear. Or if you guys are old enough to remember the Beatles, the Beatles stereo recordings were not stereo, right? They took took a monophonic recording. They put all the instruments on the left ear and all the voices in the right ear.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound too bad in its speakers, but if you put headphones on, it's really jarring to hear. You know, like instruments here, voices here.
The other thing, too, is I thought it would be like, you know, nowadays I'm so used to all the time with satellite transmissions on news broadcasts and everything else with the lag between voice and mouth, where it's just like a half second out of sync. That's when they said it was that they were 2 ears. I'm like, geez, I thought that those audio and video being half a second out of sync was bad. Now I can't even get 2 channels of audio in sync at this point.
Right.
But I don't. Everything that we knew Apple for, which made Apple great lately, seems to be sort of going by the wayside. This, again, is another product that it seems like they rushed to get it into place. I don't know if it's because they felt the iPhone 7 in and of itself wasn't enough, the iPhone 7 with no headphone jack. But it seems like they tried to rush something to market, which they didn't do. It used to be everything in its time, you know? And now it seems like it's this is another case of we ran something, you know, we rushed it to market and we just weren't ready for it.
You know, I wonder if they're following Steve Jobs' recommendation to the company a little too far. I think he said, "Don't ask what would Steve do after I'm gone." I think if I recall what he told his biographer. Yeah. Right, and they've taken it a little too far. Says, well, you know, Steve would have said this is like a beta release. Let's not go with it. Let's go with it.
No, they went from don't ask what Steve would do. They've gone to don't do what Steve would have done under any circumstances. Right, let's do the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's put a stylus out. Let's do.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like I said. I've. It's sad to see this happen because the one thing, whether or not you loved or hated Apple over the years, the one thing you respected was the quality of what they put out.
Yeah.
In the end, you said you knew that, and they stood behind it 100%. And everything about experiences, whether it be, and by the way, Todd, I'm setting you up here.
Yeah.
Experiences, whether those experiences be with the product or experiences with the Apple Store, everything was about a positive experience, and it just isn't happening. They're starting to feel like every other big company now, you know.
Yeah,
they just feel.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in fact, and so thanks for the setup. What a pro!
So just call me Mr. Segway here. You're welcome.
So here's the story. So my wife was traveling with our daughter during Thanksgiving week, and her Fitbit Charge HD, it's one of those wristband types, physically broke. And I know you're, Don's probably going, what are you talking about Fitbit? I thought you were going to talk about Apple. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So her Fitbit broke. So I sent an email with her email address saying, hey, you know, this is what's happening. And within 48 hours, Fitbit said, yeah, we're going to ship you a new one. Done.
Yeah.
And, you know, after she got back, it took a few days, but, you know, it took like a week or something. But within a week, week and a half, she had a new Fitbit Surge HD or Charge HD, whatever the heck she has. And that was great. And that's typical. I think as Steve was saying, that is typical of Fitbit. They will bend over backwards to make sure you have a functional product, regardless of whether it's in warranty or not. And this one was, I think, like one day out of warranty.
You know? Yeah. Shout out to support at Fitbit.com. I mean, you can tweet them or you can send them an email and they'll get back with you in like 24, 48 hours. It's really, really good.
Yeah. So, you know, nothing but good things to say about Fitbit support. I've had a couple of minor things, like I broke a belt clip for one of the old Fitbits. And I said, hey, can I buy a new one? They said, here, we'll send you one address, you know.
Yeah. No, they are very good. As a matter of fact, they're one of those when you see if you know, it's interesting. I've always said there's the, you know, certified refurbished from a manufacturer. There are companies that you say, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Yeah. Actually, Fitbit, if it's something coming from the manufacturer, if it's from Fitbit, it's as good as new as far as I'm concerned. They don't mess around. Again, back to the positive, the customer experience, the product experience is just, it's great.
Okay. It really is. At this point, though, my wife was without a Fitbit, wandering around Chicago with our daughter. And she says, hey, Black Friday's coming up. If there's a good price, can you order me an Apple Watch? And I go, well, I'll see if there's a sale. Turns out, by the way, only the Apple Series 1 had a gift card associated with it. The new iPhones, the new watches, nothing. But I said, well, what do you want to do? She says, it's just list price. She says, yeah, go ahead and order me one. I said, okay, fine.
You're lucky they're in stock.
Yeah, actually. So I ordered it Black Friday, and I didn't want it to be sitting outside of our door, so I had to deliver it to a local Apple store, thinking it'd be kind of safe and easy to pick up there.
You're in Hawaii, you remember that.
Yeah, we are in Hawaii. I get an email a couple days ago saying, hey, your Apple Watch and band are ready to pick up. Come on down. So I tell my wife, okay, here's the email. Here's the, you know, order number. Here's this barcode, whatever it is. Take a, you know, make sure you have a picture ID, you know, like a driver's license, fine. Go down, pick it up. She goes to the Apple Store on Friday night, last night. And a relatively nice guy says, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, no.
There is there is nothing here. So my wife calls me and says, maybe it's under your name. I said, well, it should be under both our names, because when you order it and deliver it to Score, you can have an alternate contact, alternate pickup person. So I had both our names on there. And I said, well, your names should be on there, but, you know, give them my name. And I spoke to the guy. I says, hey, my name is, you know, Tadogasawara, blah, blah, blah. Here's the order number, blah, blah, blah. Here's the emails dated, you know, like 2 days ago, ready for pickup. And he goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he didn't say it that way. He was very polite, of course.
And you showed him, he's like, Apple Watch? You know what an Apple Watch is, right?
So I told my wife, you know, just tell him, forget about looking for the, you know, for the back room. Check the order on their computer to verify there's a real order, because I'm looking at it and it's there. Anyway, about 10 minutes later, she says, okay, we talked to his boss. And they pulled the box out. It has the product number you gave. It has my name. It's your name.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you know,
the old RTFM thing, right?
Yeah.
Just read the sticker that's attached to the box.
And nothing was misspelled, right? It's not one of those, you know, like Don's name or your name or my name getting misspelled. Everything is spelled correctly. So we don't know what's at any rate. So then, okay, this the follow-up. There's more to this. So 2 weeks before that, you know, or so I tried to find the Genius Bar appointment thing to set up a Genius Bar appointment for my wife so she could have – I don't have an Apple Watch. I literally don't know how to use it. And so I said, well, you know, go talk – set up a Genius Bar appointment. As soon as you get to your watch, let's, you know, let's figure out an appointment, and you go down and get an expert to explain the basics of it. I can't even – it's not in the app anymore. I can't find it in a website. One of our friends who works in an Apple store told me how to find it. I still can't find it.
You have to call and make an appointment, because like there's
it's crazy.
There's now the, I don't know if you guys heard about the battery recall for the successes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's only with certain serial numbers that affected both my wife and one of my daughter's iPhones, because shutting off after the iOS 10 update.
Yeah.
Oh, so, and I guess it's more widespread than those serial numbers too.
Yeah.
So,
well, at least they're not catching fire.
They have a battery gate.
You know.
What was that?
Not catching fire. Right. I mean, that would be really bad. but at any rate, so okay, so that's one thing. So I go to the store last week before, you know, the watch is still, we don't know when it's going to ship, but soon. I go to this local Apple store and go, hey, you know, my wife's getting a watch and it's going to be delivered to this store. Can I set up a Genius Bar appointment so that she can, you know, get some professional help to make sure she knows how to use the basics and, you know, all that kind of stuff? Because, oh, you don't need an appointment. We'll help you as soon as she picks up the watch. I go, you sure? I mean, you know, it's my wife is not a techie. You know, she's going to need 10, 15 minutes, you know, go through the basics, maybe repeat it a few times, make sure that, you know, if she has any questions, she'll get it, right? No, you don't have to do that. Really? I think you're wrong, but okay, fine. I'll take your word for it. I'm thinking this to myself. So my wife, they sync it with her iPhone 6, whatever she has, 6S, I think. And that's it. I mean, that's good. That's good. They helped her sync it. But basically, she knows how to get the clock on the screen, right? And you can say, well, anybody should know how to click on little app dots. No, not everybody knows how to do that. No. I'm telling you this.
Was it the Mickey Mouse clock?
So, you know, so she gets the bum rush out, right? As soon as, you know, she's picked up her $400 device. Because, you know, it's just a nothing, right? It's not a Mac Pro or something. Any rate, so I'm kind of annoyed at this point. You know, it's like that. You're not Apple. And I'm not annoyed. I'm annoyed because Apple should be better than that, in my opinion. That's why I buy stuff from Apple.
You know, again, it's what I said. It's about experience. And, you know, it's amazing to me that this is what we're seeing. Like I said, it's the difference. It used to be the differentiator between Apple and everybody else.
Absolutely.
It was all about whether it's the hardware, the operating system, the store, everything was about experience. And now it seems like that's all taking a back seat. And I just, you know, again, it's, you know, back to Steve Jobs. Yeah, I mean, the absence is being felt in this regard. You know, I don't, they just now seem like another company to me, you know, and it's a shame.
If I'm not going to get service, no offense, but I might as well buy a Dell. <You know? laughs> It's going to be one third the price, right? Yep. It's going to probably break in about 2 years right after the warranty expires. But, you know, what the heck? It's 1/3 the price.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Oh, gosh.
So.
Oh, well, we're sorry about that. We're sorry. We're sorry you went through that, Todd.
So, anyway, so I've been tweeting with Apple, at Apple Support on Twitter, and I'm going to say, ask for more information. Not that I expect anything to happen, but, you know, I need to vent. So I'm going to vent my information, and hopefully they'll actually write a little note saying, we're sorry.
Yeah.
We didn't mean to do that. Anyway, so that's my venting. Again, wonderful customer support story for Fitbit. Not so much for Apple, which is, you know, and I have so many good Apple customer support stories. It's just, bothers me.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time. You know, we've had other. I'll have one more. It ended well. So, I ordered. Let's see. Oh, I know. Just before my daughter started college, which was several years ago, I ordered a MacBook Air fully loaded. You know, and some other, and an iPad, something, whatever that was out there, 3 or 4, and had it all sent to the same Apple store. And I go there, and they go, "What MacBook Air?" Seriously. They went, "We don't have that MacBook Air. They sent the wrong one."
Oh, jeez.
It was because I had it fully tricked out. It was as much RAM and SSD as you know you can put on there. Because I figured it's going to last 4 years. You know?
Yeah.
But at any rate, instead of just giving me the bums rush out, as they did this time around, the guy there, who was not a manager as far as I can tell, or anything, he was just the guy who was helping me, said, "You know what, we're really sorry you have to wait." And they did find one that was in stock, which is kind of unusual because they usually don't have the tricked out ones in stock.
Yeah.
"We have one in stock. We're just going to give it to you and send this one, you know, just put this one into our stock for somebody else." They said, but I had been there an hour at this point. And they said, "You know, we're sorry this happened, but, you know, to make things better, we're going to give you like $150 in Apple gift cards." Not iTunes gift card, the good hardware stuff. Wow. And you get
a mouse.
Yeah. and
get some Apple stickers.
And pick out whatever case you think your daughter might like. You know?
That's actually a pretty decent deal, yeah.
The shell type case.
It's the official Apple one. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So any rate, so they made it right. I left the store feeling like, okay, this was a problem, but they fixed it, you know. It was a good story. Bad story in the beginning, good story in the end. But that went downhill from there because that ending didn't happen this time. You know?
I hope you don't have another situation. They're not even going to let you in the doors. Oh, it's going at this rate. The next time they won't let you into the store, they'll kick you out.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was thinking about replacing my daughter's iPhone 6 because it's 2 years old now, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't want a 7, by the way, because there's no headphone jack.
No headphone jack, yeah.
She says, I like my headphones.
None of the kids want that.
I know.
Does Square work with the lightning adapter? I don't know if anyone's tried that yet.
That's a good question. I don't know. It's funny that you mentioned that because my wife uses the Square software. She doesn't have to use the adapter. But that came up in the same discussion because she's got a 6. Actually, she's got a 6S. And it was, the question became, what happens if I have to use the adapter for it? But I haven't heard anything one way or the other on it. Yeah. I personally, I've got the 7, but I've been using Bluetooth headphones for a long time anyways, you know, for workouts and stuff. So
yeah. Just stick some Q-tips in your ears and pretend they're AirPods.
You got to turn, though. You got to sort of bend the end of one end.
Break them in half.
Yeah. But, you know, okay, so you and John apparently have had good experiences with Bluetooth on the 7. I have not had a good experience with Bluetooth on my 7. I have a 7 Plus.
I heard the Bluetooth stack was kind of iffy for the 7.
I haven't had a problem. Well, I shouldn't say that. I had a problem with 10, but since 10.1, I haven't had any problems. And I go 45 minutes to an hour straight, you know, popping, you know, whether it be music or audiobooks when I'm doing.
So Bluetooth wise, the Amazon Echo now works okay since 10.1. It was not okay with 10.
That might have been the Echo.
Yeah.
And
the Amazon Echo is okay now, but not with 10.0. And I bought a new Bluetooth headphones that works okay, but I didn't realize they didn't have a microphone, so I can't. It's literally just headphones. Oh, yeah, they were cheap, yeah. So you know, it's okay. It was like $12. It's no loss. But the little car Bluetooth I have, and it's after, you know, it's a little thing you plug into the cigarette adapter kind of Bluetooth, not a manufacturer type. It's kind of iffy. And the headphones I really like, whose brand name I can't recall, Tautronics, something like that.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I have a pair of the Tautronics.
Yeah, which works perfectly with my 6. I'm sorry, my 6 Plus Bluetooth with 10 and 10.1, but does not work well on the 7 Plus.
That's funny, because it's the Tautronics I have as a replacement. The first I had another, and I can't even remember what it was, Axigo or what one of them that, but it the I was getting humidity builds, you know, perspiration, everything else in the headset was causing problems. So I ended up picking up the Tautronics, and I've been using them. And like I said, especially since 10.1, I haven't had any issues. And I use them, like I said, I use them daily, and sometimes multiple times a day for workouts, which with those between, like I said, sweat and, you know, everything else between the headsets working and never having any problems or hesitation. I will admit, 10 at first, I was having some problems.
Yeah.
I would have it just drop out on me.
I'll tell you what happens with my Tautronics Bluetooth headset, which does have a microphone. I really love them, by the way. What happens is the first time I connect to, I turn on the headset, iPhone sees it pairs, right? No sound will come out of the headphones. So what I got to do is disconnect it manually from the Bluetooth setting and settings on the iPhone, and then reconnect, and then it's fine. But it's 100% of the time this happens.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. No, I haven't had that problem.
Maybe I should buy a new Tautronics.
I think it's you, Todd. I think it's personally, yeah, I think it's you.
Well, I know on some headphones, it depends on where the radio set is in accordance to, like, proximity. Because I have the Braggy headphones, and when I first got these, you had to have it on the right-hand side because that's where the Bluetooth receiver was. Your phone had to be on the right-hand side of your body. If it was on the left-hand side, it was kind of iffy. Would get a little crackle between it. And they actually changed the technology. They used to talk Bluetooth to Bluetooth, and then they, halfway through the process, because it was a Kickstarter, they decided to use hearing aid technology to actually do the audio connection between the two. Uh-huh. And I wonder if Apple's coming across the same problems with their AirPods. I don't know how the Samsung Gears headphones, the wireless headphones, work too, but these have been great, the Braggy ones. I like them a lot because they have 4 gig of storage on it too, so if I don't need to have a attached. And they're waterproof. I can use them while paddleboarding or surfing, swimming. You can do all that stuff and running. And they're really good. And they got a good battery life. And it comes with the holder for it is a charger as well.
Yeah.
And they just came out with a new version for about, like, I think $129 and $100 for a Kickstarter. It was just called Headphone.
Okay.
But it doesn't have
storage. Speaking of Bluetooth headphones, since we were talking about the iPhone 7 not having a headphone jack and stuff, you guys travel a lot more than me. What's your experience using Bluetooth headphones on an airplane while flying? Do they allow it? I've never really tried.
Yeah, I never had any problems as far as that went.
Okay.
It was never. If anything, the problem wasn't Bluetooth headphones.
I would turn them off during.
Yeah. If anything, the problem was more about pulling out a device, whether it be wired or not wired. But now
they allow that. They said any electronic device you can hold in your hand is now you can actually use. So it's like you have a phone in your hand that you're not using with it. They ask you to put it in radio, of course, airplane mode. So all your radio's up. Like a Kindle or an iPad, you can still hold on to that and watch your movie
technically in airplane mode, your Bluetooth radio is off too. So
that's you're right.
In some devices, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can turn it on separately, I know, but
exactly.
Technically, that's not true airplane mode.
Yeah, right, I actually, somewhere was I? What flight did I take where somebody said you could not have, they were very, and I'm trying to remember their verbiage, but they said you
low energy Bluetooth,
have a cellular radio on your device. And it was like the first time somebody differentiated between signals.
Right.
You know,
rather most than people don't saying, know the
difference. Yeah, you can't have anything with waves coming out of it. what you expect from airline personnel, you know, you can't have anything with the wavy stuff that makes radiation.
No laser guns. Okay. All right. Well. Next up, I wanted to. There are two more things I want to talk to you guys. Get your thoughts on. The first is something probably you guys have been thinking about, and as a Windows Surface RT owner, and I say that with some distaste, Windows 10 x86 emulation in ARM computers is coming, or so we're hearing.
Yeah, system on a chip, close to it.
Yeah.
Well, first thing is Windows 10 on ARM. Yeah. I mean, that's the first. You break it into two parts, and it's
3D6
back.
Emulation.
Yeah, it's once again back around on this way of thinking, which to me, it's my first thought when I heard this was it's not Windows 10 on ARM, it's Windows 10 on Qualcomm chips, which are dominating right now in the mobile space.
Yep.
Let's be honest, and with Intel's move away from mobile, it's not a nice to have. It's a need to have at this point for them.
I think all the cores.
Yeah, and the icing though was then turning around and saying let's have x86 emulation on top of this. I think it's a capitulation to the fact that UWP, you know, the Universal Windows Platform development just is not taking off like they want it to. And I'll give you an example from my perspective why the other day it hit me personally, because I started working on something for myself. I hadn't coded in a while. It was something to just automate some processes I was doing at work. And I said, well, I could do, because I was running it on a Windows 10 machine, I said I could do it UWP, or I could do the classic x86. I could do it on a classic desktop. My first thought was, okay, if I go UWP, this app needed to do a lot of managed, you know, APIs and things like that, mm-hmm. with some things that weren't UWP. Yeah, I could kind of do it, but I started to question, what is, you know, how long are those going to be around? Is that going to be accessible? In the end, I finally just said, forget about it. I'm just going to go do what I know how to do. And I went to a classic desktop because that was the quickest and easiest for me.
Yeah.
And I got to think from the enterprise perspective, that's still what's going on with a lot of this. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I think there's incredible value to UWP on paper. But the reality is that it's just not taking off. And we've reached a point, I think it's pretty safe to say, hardware-wise, where x86 emulation on ARM should give you the performance that you want. It may not be perfect. It won't be as great as running on a high-end x86, you know, machine. But it's gonna give you the performance that you need. I mean, all we have to do is look back, even the lower-powered Intel machines. Look at, you know, I remember running on my HP Stream 7 running Office, the desktop version of Office, and going, wow, this thing's running. Yeah, it's not, don't get me wrong, it's not going to be lights out the greatest, but it works.
I just updated my Dell Venue 8 Pro the other day to the latest Windows Insider Preview version, and it runs fine. No complaints.
Yeah, I mean, it actually runs faster
than Windows 8.
You know, I'll be interested to see what this does, and it gives, again, you're back to cost of production. What can you start to get involved with when you get to this? You know, it's just
the resources gain that we always talk about. It's like you got to develop so many platforms, you only have so many people and resources to actually develop for, and you got to choose one or the other. You're going to pick the one that has the most clients on it. That's what it goes to.
Let's be honest, x86 emulation means that you're probably, again, back to our Stream 7 example, while we could run Office on that HP Stream 7, we weren't going to be doing touch with it when you're running Office because the screen's just too small. Mm. You're going to want a keyboard. But still, if I could take advantage of, and they mentioned it, the power, you know, and the battery life, the battery life factors. Hey, this is, to me, it's a smart move. It's a smart move. The big question in all of this, and let's put out a whole bunch of question marks, like on the Riddler's costume, because in the end, I feel like we have to say, riddle me this, is where does this put the Windows 10 mobile, platform moving forward. You know, it's and everybody's between. Speculating, and all it is just speculation at this point. I think we have to wait and see. Does what was a Surface phone basically become a Windows 10 on an ARM, you know, ARM hardware with some sort of emulation? I don't know. And everybody who's sitting there's any of 100 websites all saying this is what it's going to be. They're all full of it at this point, in my opinion.
Unless you're on the project team, you don't know.
Yeah, wait, I don't think anybody really knows at this point 100% where this means.
With respect to many of our mutual friends who are still devoted to their Windows Phone devices, honestly, with a market share of now less than 1%, not many people care. You know what happens to the phone.
I still say it, and I'll say it again. If it wasn't for the app, and we're back to UWP, and we're back to that plan. If it wasn't for the apps, I love the platform. I love Windows 10 on a mobile device. It was great, but it just got to the point so painful. You know,
still isn't there anymore, and the camera's still very shaky. Even the latest builds, it's just like everyone want to jump ship.
You mean on the phone side, Steve?
Yeah, on the phone side. Yeah. It's so sad. It's like they used to have Windows Phone 8 was really stable. Windows Mobile 10, it's a horrible beta mess. I mean, it really is. It's like it seems like the people are beta testers. People just leaving it because it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. Yeah. Like, why should I wait around for this anymore?
Well, that's the thing, is that I wouldn't mind if I saw there was a light at the end of this tunnel. You know, if the Insider program, which I think is a fantastic idea, don't get me wrong. And it works great in the desktop world or the Windows 10 world. But on the mobile side, you feel like they're building. What are you building to right now? What's your goal? What's the end game with this? And there just isn't.
Bridge to nowhere.
Yeah, it is. And it's sad. It really is. There was a lot of promise there.
But now
we have to wait and see what comes out of this.
It would be great to see if they did go to a Surface phone, like the Antelope computer we saw from IBM, that little concept where you basically carry around your computer in your pocket. I mean, and you dock it with Continuum. That'd be your full PC with a large screen, keyboard, mouse. I mean, that'd be awesome that you could do that, and everything's stored in the cloud. You don't have to have much storage on your device and it has enough processing power to do it.
Again, the HP, was it the Elite X3?
Yep.
Right track conceptually. The platform, unfortunately, is where we're, the thing, but there's the idea. You've got something. If it wasn't for the fact it was limited in terms of apps, I'd say look at as a proof of concept for a device that's powerful enough. It can work as a phone, but powerful enough to provide you. Hey, it may not be the highest end PC in the world, but it's a damn functional one. I'd say the Elite, the X3 has the same capabilities as, short of running native apps. Mm. I compare it to the Stream 7 right now in terms of its power and its, it's a similar thing. That's a pretty compelling case to make, but you're using the wrong operating system platform at this point because of the missing apps.
Right. By the way, the HAL is there.
I'm sorry, say that, Steve. Say it again, Steve.
The HAL is there, the hardware application layer. Yeah. Very similar.
I was going to say, speaking of low-end Windows, full Windows 10 tablets, not ARM or whatever, during the 12 days of deals is still going on for Microsoft. I think I saw a $50 tablet the day.
Yeah. That was it, the New Vision one? I think it was a New Vision.
It's cheaper than a phone. Let's put this in perspective.
Yeah.
Everything's cheaper than a phone nowadays.
And you know what? It's back to this whole thing. On ARM, it's going to be really interesting in seeing what they can do for lower end. They'd already started getting there with Atom, the later generation of Atom processors, comparable to Chromebooks in pricing. It'll be interesting to see. And if they offer tablets, you look at, whether it be that you buy it as a separate or you look at Asus with the Transformer mode, at a lower cost, a very simple. Again, I've always felt that's a very compelling case for students, just to have something. It's same way Chromebooks. That was what the target audience.
Oh, don't get me started on Chromebooks. Don't.
Chromebooks are great. I like them.
You know I can't get one, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Amazon will not ship anything with a battery to Hawaii anymore.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I think Best Buy has it, so I can probably get one from Best Buy, though. Yeah. Locally, I mean.
You can check eBay. And there's a bunch of Googlers always selling their old Chromebooks that they got. So.
Well, I want a specific one. I want the Acer Chromebook R13, which is...
Oh, that's for a rare animal.
Yeah, it looks really nice and is reasonably priced.
I thought you wanted to get one of the Pixels or something like that.
What's that? Oh, no. I wonder if Google... Well, Google shipped a phone to me, so I guess they'd ship a Chromebook to me. No, the Google Pixel, both the tablet and the Chromebook are just way too expensive for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Last item. I should say, sort of my rant and disappointment. Of course, the Surface RT will never get this upgrade.
No, it won't. It won't get Chrome either.
That's true. Okay. And finally, I got to ask you guys, since I do not play Pokemon Go. Do you guys have Pokemon Go on your phone or whatever? Because apparently, if you want the Pokemon Go Frappuccino, at Starbucks, you have to find a Starbucks that serves it, and the only way to find it is to have a Pokemon Go app
I think
all Thanks. Starbucks are now Pokestops.
Are they now?
They have that. All Starbucks are now Pokestops.
Okay.
And they all serve it, and you just have to ask for it. I think it was a white head latte with cherry sauce in the middle of it. It looks like a Pokeball.
You know, I am not a discerning drinker, so anything that has the word Frappuccino in it, I will try at least once.
Sounds like a triple shot mocha espresso mochaccino or something, right?
All I know is we're how many months into Pokemon Go being out, and my younger son is still one of these that I'll say, hey, we need to go someplace. And his response is, do you think they'll have a lot of Pokemon or Pokestops?
Really, still? Because it's been half a year, something like that.
Does he remember where all the Pokestops are on different routes and have you redirect your routes?
Okay. Yeah. Well, it was funny. We just went to a factory outlet mall here in New Hampshire. We just went yesterday. And that was this thing. I picked him up from school and we went straight over afterwards. And my agenda was to pick up very specific stuff for him for athletic gear because I had seen it there, but I didn't know his size. His goal was to make sure that I brought the spare battery for his phone, which in case his phone ran low while he was in school so he could charge it up. So that he could then search for Pokemon.
That's great stocky stuff.
Yeah, he loves going. By the way, he loves going into the city. Loves going to Boston.
Not for
anything of historical significance. Not for anything culinary. It's all about the Pokemon.
All the historical spots are old Google field trip spots. So they come up to these Pokestops. So you might be learning something too. It's like, wow, look at that guy on a horse. I think, what's his name? Oh yeah, it's Paul Revere. Look at that.
He'll remember by the Pokemon he caught at
like spinning coin. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if Niantic and now I'm blanking. Who does Pokemon? Who's the company that does Pokemon? I can't remember anymore. But anyway, whoever it
is. Niantic.
Huh?
Niantic.
Yeah, but who owns the character Pokemon? It's not.
That's Nintendo.
Nintendo? Okay, I was thinking not Nintendo. Okay, Nintendo. It wouldn't be nice if Nintendo and Google, Niantic, a subsidiary of Google, teamed up and actually added some of these educational aspects. I mean, those of you who live in historic areas, it'd be like awesome.
Well, enticement for you look at from an education perspective, ways that the kids are enticed to learn.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but I think you're right. I think it could be.
They could link it to a YouTube video. They could link it to audio. Yeah. I mean, like a little audio tour.
Go to 10 historic areas, learn one thing about each one. If you answer all the questions, you get an extra Poke character or something,
Yeah. Like you said, as you're going, instead of getting spinning coins, they go to Pokestops, it's a video that shows for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And they got to watch the whole thing if they actually want credit. Or something like that. There are ways. I mean, you can entice. And you're right. I mean, it's around these parts. You could probably, if kids found out in other parts of the country that this was going on, they were doing
They'll
that.
Go there.
Our tourism dollars would probably go up tremendously because kids would want to come here for it.
See, the tourism bureaus need to get involved with with Niantic and say, hey.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm surprised they already haven't, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Each Pokestop labeled hella coins.
Oh, gosh.
Well, in any case, I want to thank Stephen Hughes, who has returned from, let's see, what did I say, episode 45? We're in 187.
Yeah, so, it's 2011.
Yeah, we'll see you every 5 years or
no,
so.
No, I'll come out. Whenever you need me, I'll jump on.
Thank you.
It's big shoes to fill for John, but I'm sure I would like to do one with John as well, too.
And Adele Kazim, a.k.a. Don Sorcinelli. Thank you for filling in. You know, the reason I asked you guys on, aside from having somebody to talk to because I'm so lonely, but is that I got a brand new microphone. After 8 years, I bought a new microphone. So I needed some way to really see what this sounds like. I recorded some, and I listened to it, and I couldn't figure it out, so Don and Steve are helping me say, is that sound okay? Eh, it sounds okay. You know, your voice is still terrible, but that's all right.
And we'll now let the audience in that we didn't tell Todd that he actually sounds like he's on helium when he uses it. So he'll hear it when he actually publishes this case. Sorry about
that. That would actually be cool. All righty, gang. We will return next time for, I think, the last podcast of 2016 when John Westfall returns from his super secret mission of whatever it is he's doing. Of course, you know, he can't tell us, but we'll learn later. Anyway, thanks again to my
secret Santa mission.
There you go. Yeah, we will talk to you one more time in 2016, and then we'll rejoin with friends like Steve and Don and a bunch of other folks in 2017.